All right. Welcome to the inaugural episode of Disney Magic, which is our clearly Disney podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
We like Disney things.
As a matter of fact.
More or less. So, podcast one, this podcast, is really going to be introductory to ourselves and our Disney preferences, our Disney likes, and possibly some dislikes. We'll find out. But I think anybody who talks about Disney, the first thing that's going to happen is, what's your favorite movie? So, starting with Megan, we're both going to reveal our favorite Disney movie of the original 50-ish canon.
The 50 animated classics.
We're not going to do High School Musical just yet.
Okay.
Had to make me rethink my choice, but let's go.
We also haven't discussed these answers with each other, really. So, like, while we know each other as friends, we might not know the answers to some of these.
We might have some guesses, but there might be some surprise looks that you'll have no idea happen.
Okay, so favorite movie. Do you want to start or should I?
You should start.
Okay. I would say Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland, for real real?
For real real. I grew up really loving the book Alice in Wonderland, and I watched the movie a lot as a child. It was probably the most rented Disney movie that I had. And I don't know, I really love Alice. I really love how surreal and crazy it is, and yeah.
My grandmother had an Alice in Wonderland VHS, so all my Alice in Wonderland was watching at her house, and my biggest memory is that those credits took forever before that movie would start.
I do remember as a child watching early Disney movies and being like, why the hell are these here? Can't we just, like, wait till the end? Why are they not at the end?
And that one and Peter Pan both had, like, songs I recognized at the beginning of the credits.
Right,
and I think that didn't help, because I was like, it's not going to start till this song ends. And this is a 12-minute song, apparently.
What's your favorite, Joel?
My favorite, I have three favorites, and so they rotate daily.
Well, I chose one.
Today's is Peter Pan.
Okay.
So, Peter Pan, when I was a kid, the first book I had was Peter Pan. I think it's the first book I read. Mom says I looked at the pages a lot. I don't know if I knew how to read back then, but I definitely had that. And I watched all the versions, live action and cartoon both, but I love the Peter Pan Disney movie. So that was one of the first VHSs I remember. I remember we got it in the mail. And so that was
you mail ordered it?
I think somebody sent it to me for my birthday.
Oh, okay.
So, and I think it came in the mail that way. But I remember opening the package because it had come from the mail.
I think it's just really interesting how we both chose movies that were way before we were born because, you know, we were kids in the 90s and the 90s were such a huge time for Disney. And yet our favorite movies are some of the older ones. So that's kind of cool.
Well, those are the ones like, because, you know, I remember going to see Hercules and stuff in the theaters, but I saw it once in the theaters and, you know, Peter Pan was at home on a tape so I could watch
it. He watched it over and over, yeah.
So that might help. Our second question on our self-made questionnaire is favorite character. And we added the stipulation, this favorite character could not be in your favorite movie.
So. Okay, this is so tough, because there's so many good Disney characters.
We also have favorite villain and favorite princess later on the list.
So
maybe if you're like, why did nobody say Cinderella? Might be somebody's favorite princess. So.
Maybe later. I think my favorite character is Charlotte LaBeouf from Princess and the Frog.
Really?
Yeah, no, she's hilarious, and she reminds me a lot of myself, and I love, love, love her friendship with Tiana. I think it's really sweet how they're from such different backgrounds and different social classes, and Charlotte is just so, so sweet to her, and Tiana is sweet to Charlotte, and it's so nice and happy, and Charlotte's just hilariously Southern, and growing up in the South, I can really appreciate those silly sayings she says, and the way she acts like a beauty queen. It's really cute.
So what was your favorite character in 2007? That's a new one. Like, Disney has to do something great to, like, change my opinions today.
That's true. No, that's very true. Pre-2007... Oh, I might have said Jane from Tarzan. She's really high up on my list as well. I don't know. She's really cute. Okay. And I like her accent. And I love her progression in the movie from being, like, super awkward and running around the jungle losing boots and stuff to her, like, swinging on vines and...
learning how to do it.
Yeah. I really like that.
All right. Mine's the genie from Aladdin.
So nice choice.
That, I remember really loving it in the... movie, first time I watched it. The Genies was the first time I didn't mind the songs, because I hated the songs as a kid.
What?
Like, as a very young kid, I was like, this is not part of the fighting that happens.
I had, like, all the sing-along tapes, even the ones that had, like, obscure movies.
See, I had those, too. I had the sing-along tapes with Follow the Bouncing Ball and the owl that was always late.
Did you hate it?
No, I love those. They're 30 minutes long. I'm not logicaling this.
Oh, okay.
But I love the songs, and I usually... it's because of the songs that really stick out are the slow in love songs.
That's true.
And being, you know, a 3-year-old boy, you're like, what?
Are they gonna kiss now?
This is not acceptable in my feature film. So, but I like Genie. The Genie was funny. And the Genie is funny in a new way now that I grow up and know who Ed Sullivan is.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's an Ed Sullivan joke. That's a Jack Nicholson impression.
Yeah, it makes a big difference to know who they are now.
Yeah, I really like the Genie worked that way. And that's, I'm sure, 90% credited to Robin Williams.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah.
So, thanks, Rob. Let's keep with characters. Favorite standard character or original character of the Mickey Mouse and gang friends? Oh, okay. Favorite one of those characters.
So, like, yeah. Minnie is definitely my favorite, which is, like, a really generic...
That's a girly
answer. It is a really generic girl response, but as a kid, I was born in 88, and they really didn't start marketing the princesses strongly until I was about 10 or 11 or so. So I never had a favorite princess as a child. I was just really into Minnie Mouse. One of my favorite pictures of myself was when I was 4 and we went to Disney World for, I think, the first time. And I had my little mini dress and I got my picture with Minnie Mouse, and my face is just, like, the biggest smile I think I have ever had in a photo. I really liked her polka dot dress, and I loved her cute little voice and the big bow. I loved everything. She's always my favorite.
Okay.
Who's yours?
I don't have a lot to say about Minnie Mouse.
So, I mean, fond Minnie memories.
You made a solid argument that I'm not going to disagree with. But Minnie was kind of just there. I'm sorry. Pluto. Pluto was my favorite.
I'm sorry. Minnie was kind of just there, but Pluto, the one who doesn't talk, was not.
But there were, like, Pluto shorts that happened.
Yeah, that's true.
And they were so hard on Pluto because he tried so hard to communicate in every one of those shorts. And he was like, there are chipmunks ruining our Christmas. And Mickey was like, do you want to help with candy canes, Pluto? And Pluto's like, no, in all the dog language that he can muster, you have to do something about these chipmunks.
Oh, that's a funny
answer. And then he got his mouth stuffed full of candy canes. So I felt bad for Pluto. I thought Pluto was cool. And he was named Pluto, which was a planet, still was a planet. And I thought that was cool as well. So, I like Pluto. All right, you want to do Favorite Princess now?
Favorite Princess! Yay! So Joel totally knows this already, because I read a Tumblr about it. My favorite princess is Aurora from Sleeping Beauty. I really love her because, as a child, I really loved Sleeping Beauty. I thought she, in my head, when I pictured a princess as a child, I pictured Aurora. And also, I was adopted as a baby, and it was really nice to see a character in, especially a children's film, that was really, that would react in the same way that I would to learning news of adoption and being really close to her, well, the fairies, but her aunts is what they called her. I don't know. I really like Aurora.
That's good. I mean, I like Sleeping Beauty.
But that's because it has a dragon in it.
I will admit that, like, part of the reason that I like Aurora so much is that her movie is really solidly good, and I love Philip, and I love the fairies and their interactions with each other, and I love Maleficent, and, like, yeah, so... So that's definitely a contributing factor to her being my favorite princess, but not everything.
My favorite is Jasmine.
Ooh, nice choice. So,
and that's, you know, I like Aladdin. That's my second Aladdin character in 10 minutes. So clearly I like Aladdin a bit, but I like Jasmine. I like that she did stuff.
She did do stuff.
I mean, part of it was it wasn't her movie, but she did.
That's nice, Joel.
Well, she jumped the wall and then ran around outside.
She was proactive even though she wasn't the main character.
She was smart. Like, she figured out that Aladdin was pretending for her to be crazy, and she's like, I can play along with this, no problem, in like 8 seconds.
I will totally talk to this camel. Let's go.
So I was like, good on you, Jasmine, for that. And then she sprung board the thing, the gap. In the Agrabah, and then
pole vaulting. I was like, "What the hell are you doing?"
You're right, pole vaulting. That's what I'm looking for. and then she took one for the team and kissed Jafar. So
yeah,
good on her for really helping out there and not being a damsel. I mean, and she still was damsel in distress because she hung out in the hourglass at inopportune times.
That sucked.
But still, she was proactive and tried her best to make her world the one she wanted to be.
It's true. So I really like Jasmine. I like how feisty she is. And how she's just not going to take anything you say at face value.
As a 3-year-old boy, the parts in the movie where the girl was didn't suck. And it was Jasmine.
That's good. That's a good sign.
So I think that's why I like Jasmine. And let's finish off the characters with favorite villain. So
there are so many great Disney villains, but I think I have to do a second character from the same movie as well. I think I have to go with Maleficent. She's really intimidating in a not generically villainy way. Like, she's not the sort of person who would, like, you know, hit you in the face or something. No, she's gonna plot your death 16 years ahead of time with, like, really large, crazy plots and spinning wheels involved. And she's very threatening without being directly aggressive. And then she turns into a dragon. And then she's super aggressive.
And again, a dragon.
Which is really cool. And I do like the fact that she's like pretty. I don't know, that's kind of weird to say. But a lot of the villains are like non-generic standards of beauty. But I like the fact that Maleficent really is. She's tall and thin and pretty. And I think it's really interesting to see how, you know, even like really standardly pretty people can end up really not okay.
she also said hell in a Disney
movie. She did, which is crazy.
And that blew my mind as a kid. I was like, she is the most evil Disney villain ever created because she said hell.
Yep.
In a Disney movie. So that's what I got in my mind. My favorite villain is Hades from Hercules.
He was my second choice. I love Hades.
I love Hades. Hades is the best part of that movie. And I could probably go for a spinoff where he just sits around the underworld and whines about his lot in life.
Yeah, pretty much.
And again, that's probably 90% thanks to James Woods. There's been interviews where they said that it was going to be a totally different character until he came in and changed the mannerisms of the character all around. So I guess I like character-based characters. but yeah, no, he was... Everything about him I enjoyed, and I remember sitting in the theater and laughing at him.
So. Yeah, he's a really funny villain. And he's so sarcastic, and he's got such a nice, dry wit to him.
Yeah.
That's really nice for somebody who's evil. And I love him freaking out and everyone working for him. That's my favorite part of that movie, is just anytime anybody messes up, Hades yelling at them is so funny every time.
Yeah. All right, let's go... Let's go to favorite song. Ain't that the hardest?
Song is definitely the hardest for me because there, you know, there's like what? At least like 3 or 4 songs every movie, and most movies have more than that, and they're all really good.
Yeah. No, because probably whatever you say, I'm going to be like, oh, that one.
Oh, maybe I should change my mind. I totally had an answer for this, and now it's totally slipped my mind. Do you want to go first, Joel?
Okay, I'll go. My favorite one is I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan.
Oh, I love that song. So good.
That is the one that I'm still getting, like, super pumped to.
Go, like, running, like, yes, I would be a man.
And as a kid, I called that Dark Side of the Moon, because they sing that line, Dark Side of the Moon. Guys, Dark Side of the Moon is a different song. So if you find some kids in high school that are talking about Dark Side of the Moon,
and you get all excited,
and you're like, I know, be a man, and they look at you weird, that's because Dark Side of the Moon is different than what you think it is.
Okay, I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to go for two, because they're... No. I'm going to settle on one. Okay. I'm going to go with When You Wish Upon a Star, which is, like, a really generic choice, but it just... That's classic. It so evokes Disney to me, and every time I hear it, especially at one of the parks, I just tear up, because it's so many memories, and it's so just irrevocably tied to Disney and... anything related to Disney.
It's the Disney song, like the Wonderful World of Disney show that used to come on Sundays.
Yeah.
Opened with that, and that was like the right there in the heart parts.
They still play it at, like, you know, parades and shows and stuff at the parks, and it just gets me every time. My second choice is actually God Help the Outcasts, which is kind of an odd choice, I guess, but it's the same deal. Like, it makes me really emotional every time I hear it, because it's just such a good song. So, yeah.
I can see that. Alright, let's see. We got two more favorites. Let's do favorite park ride.
Park first. Do you want to do park first? My favorite park is... Oh, we've both only been to Disney World, by the way, so we're doing... Disney World Florida Park specifically. My favorite Disney World park is probably Magic Kingdom. Because, like, first of all, it's huge. It's really, really large, so there's lots and lots of things to do. And just the castle is really, really lovely, and the fact that all of the different areas blend so seamlessly is really cool. And I just find something new every time I'm at that park, so that makes me really happy.
I like Magic Kingdom.
I like Magic Kingdom. It's cool and all.
I guess. It's an alright park. No, I love Magic Kingdom. But, like, yeah, most of my memories are not of rides. They're of walking around and finding characters and pointing at stuff. Probably my most vivid memory of Magic Kingdom the first time going was standing in line for Ariel's autograph.
Oh, at her grotto. Code. Oh, yeah. I missed the grotto.
So, but there were, like, water spurt things that you could play in while you waited.
Mister things, yeah.
It was December, and it was December in Florida. So we had this, like, really conflict packing at the time. So it was, yeah, like, Florida clothes and also winter clothes. So just in case these kind of things.
Yeah, because there's a good chance it could be 80 degrees, or it could be, like, 40 degrees.
So I was wearing a sweater that day, and it was too... hot for a sweater, but it wasn't so hot that you're like, this sweater is the worst. So, but I had a sweater, and it had Mickey Mouse on it, because it was Disney. But those water spurt things, and I was 7, so I'm like, I'm going to play in the water spurt things. And that sweater retained water the rest of the day.
Oh, God.
So.
Smushy.
Yeah, it was, but it was still good, because it was Magic Kingdom. My favorite's probably MGM Studios.
Hollywood Studios, as it is now known.
MGM Studios. Because of Indiana Jones and the Star Tours ride.
Good choice.
Although I really like Tomorrowland.
Oh, I do love Tomorrowland.
Like, that one. And the... I can't remember what's called, I-9? The robot you go inside?
Oh!
And there's lean rails.
Yeah!
That's my favorite ride there.
I do love Hollywood Studios, because it's such an interesting park, and it's so cool how they managed to pull such, like, really, really unrelated things together. And I really, really love Toy Story Midway Mania, like, a lot. So that's a very big perk.
So, yeah. For those of you going to Disney World, those are our official recommendations, all of them.
Go.
Also Epcot. Like, I know we didn't say Epcot, but go to Epcot.
Oh, my goodness. I love Epcot. I love the World Showcase. I love going and seeing all the little places, and
I love meeting characters there because it's so pretty, and it's not like inside, it's outside, and there's trees and stuff, and it's nice.
See, that, you know what, that's my favorite thing. Even if there weren't any rides, I like the characters walking around.
I mean, because
my Mickey Mouse picture, it was a stand in line for Mickey Mouse picture.
Yeah.
My Ariel one was too, but I can forgive that because she can't walk around.
You know.
She'd fall off around. Although I would enjoy a picture.
I saw a cosplayer once who went to a convention as Ariel, and she had made a rock for her to sit on. She did Mermaid Ariel, so she had a rock to sit on, and her husband or her boyfriend or something went with her as Eric, and he pushed her around on the rock all day. It had little casters on the bottom, so it was on wheels. So he just pushed her around all day. That was some major spouse commitment, but also a really cool idea.
That's nice. That works. So, but I mean, but I have my you know, signature book from, and most of them I found walking around in the park.
Right.
And so I can point out and remember meeting them in the park. So good on you, Disney, doing that. All right, our final favorite is not about the movies, but Disney also does TV shows, and we really like some of them. for those, because we're going to be positive, we're going to be just positive on this podcast. We might get angry at Disney later, but right now, just positive. So we're going to do your favorite...
Happy warm fuzzy viewing.
Your favorite TV show from Disney television.
I think my favorite would have to be Phineas and Ferb. Because it's just a really, really clever show, and I love the music that goes into it, and I love all the crazy stuff they build, and I love Candace being absolutely nuts. And I'm not actually that big on Disney Channel shows, so I was delightfully surprised when I started watching Phineas and Ferb and discovered it was awesome.
I might go on a limb and say Phineas and Ferb is the best show on television right now.
Really? The best?
I don't know.
I might say that too.
It's in the fight.
At least top five for me.
And that's in... I watch a lot of TV.
That's true. He does.
So, but... I love Phineas and Ferb. And everything. Like, the theme song is awesome.
Yeah.
And then every character is wonderful.
Yes.
Even, like, the times... And, like, the character that always buys stuff and then forgets other stuff and it falls out of the sky.
Oh my god, that shopkeeper like, yeah. Dude and his really wife. Cynical wife.
Like, it's my favorite characters in the whole show. And they're recurring gags.
Yeah.
In a little cartoon, kids cartoon.
Yep.
I'm like, look at that. Good on you. My favorite Disney TV show is the most boy answer possible.
Oh, man.
Because it's Gargoyles.
Oh, Gargoyles was so cool.
I loved Gargoyles
as a kid.
It hurts me, like, on a daily basis that Gargoyles is not entirely available on DVD right now. And
you can watch a lot of it on Netflix, can't you?
No, I don't think so.
We found some on Netflix once, I think.
I will pause this podcast right now. And then we'll go watch the Gargoyles series and come back.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's amazing. And it's a huge, like, memory thing from my childhood.
Yeah.
Gargoyles. And when we got our very first computer... It was a Windows 95, and it wasn't our first computer, but it was the first one where I actually, you know, got my own desktop on the family computer.
Yeah.
And I got my own folder for my Word documents for my little red-tailed hawk report that was a page long and stuff. But you remember that? And so Mom was like, you can put any backdrop you want. And there was a little promotional CD that must have come on a cereal box or something.
Probably.
And it had Gargoyles backdrops, and so... You put it in, it was this Gargoyles backdrop, and do you remember Windows 95 had those sound effects that started up?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a different sound effect for each one, and so Gargoyles is like a giant organ bang, and then a crow flying out of the organ bell, and like, but the other, that somehow, when installing that became the default noise if there was no other default noise, so Mom, you know, had a picture of the family. On hers, it's going to be me and my brother and my dad smiling, and then organ bang, crow flying away, and it really, like, messed up the tone for the rest of the time we had that computer. So it was always that Gargoyles sound effect. So that Gargoyles is a big part of my life.
Apparently.
So those are our favorite Disney, a few of our favorite things, I will say.
Yes.
So Go on to
Should
other...
Should we do favorite live-action Disney movie? We didn't discuss that.
You want
that.
To do favorite live-action Disney movie?
Yeah, we can do that. We'll talk about live-action
All right, all right, you go first, because give me a second.
Enchanted!
Oh my gosh, Enchanted!
Oh my gosh, Enchanted! Second... Oh. Okay, but second favorite is totally Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Okay, fair
well,
enough.
Well, no... Mary Poppins is really good.
See, Mary Poppins is...
That's really hard.
Mary Poppins is my go-to for favorite live action, because it's the Disney live action.
But movie. I think still like, Enchanted is my favorite. As a kid, if you asked me, I would have said Bedknobs and Broomsticks, because we had the tape and I watched it like 800 times. But as of right now, I think definitely Enchanted, because it's just so good. It's so funny, and I love Disney making fun of itself, and I love Giselle so much, being generic princess all the time, and then like... doing awesome stuff at the end, and it's just so good.
It is an impossibly perfect balance between genuine fairy tale princess Disney story and parody of genuine perfect
yes.
fairy tale princess
yes.
story. And like it is near perfect to a T.
Oh, it's so good.
So
I'd watch Enchanted now. Can I watch Enchanted now?
Everything about Enchanted. And yeah, How Does She Know was in the running from a favorite song.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That because, is one of my favorites too.
Yeah. Either Mary Poppins or Enchanted. Like,
yeah.
Mary Poppins is the go-to one where I would say it right away. But
you do love Bert.
I do love Bert.
Who doesn't love Bert? Really terrible people who we do not like. Sorry, anybody
Probably,
listening to this who doesn't like Bert. We don't actually hate you.
Probably Cockney people who, like...
actual people with that.
Have a decent,
yeah.
normal Cockney
yeah.
accent, and everybody comes up and does a Bert Cockney accent.
Oh,
it
is so embarrassing, like, Grumly.
And I'm like, I'm sorry for if that is... a constant theme in your life.
Bert is also definitely one of my favorite characters. Bert and Mary both to interact with at the parks. They're really delightful together.
That movie, I forget how much singing is in that movie because I had like a long span where I didn't watch Disney movies,
mm-hmm.
and so I don't remember it from my childhood. And you know, I'm like, there's so much in this.
Oh my god, do you know what my favorite song from Mary Poppins is? The really ridiculous suffrage song that their
the
mother sings.
The women's rights ones?
I
yes.
love that
yes.
song. And it makes me laugh every time because she says such like ridiculous patronizing things to her husband during that song, and her husband's just so like grumpy all the time, and she's like, it's cool, I'm gonna go get my right to vote and stuff, and it's so cute and it's so awesome to see in a Disney movie.
Doesn't she like reprise that in the middle of the chimney sweep part?
I think so. I think there is later mention of that sequence. It was just such a random thing to put in that movie. Like, oh, and women's suffrage, by the way. Magical nanny and kites and children
or,
and penguins and women's suffrage, go.
Or Hervey. Or Hervey.
Oh, Hervey.
Hervey. The love bug.
Hervey.
Hervey. Yeah, Hervey.
I was like, who the hell is
I was
Hervey?
Trying to say Harvey.
Harvey.
I'm like, that's not right.
Harvey.
So I fixed it halfway as it came out of my mouth.
Hervey.
So
oh,
Hervey
and
the love bug.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like that movie.
Yeah. I like that. I like the whole series.
Yeah.
I'm even okay with the Lindsay Lohan one because of Michael Keaton. Power
oh,
to you, Michael Keaton.
That's true.
So but yeah. All right, those are
our highly improvised favorite live-action Disney movies, and we'll probably regret it as soon as we stop recording this and be like, oh no, I totally forgot that my favorite movie is insert movie here. So
yeah, it's going to be sad. That's going to be our episode 2 is going to be corrections. It's going to be first
oh, wait,
item of
you
business.
Guys.
Okay, I don't have to mark that one off. All right, we're doing first movie thing. We're doing... precious Disney memories, I guess, for these two questions. So, first movie you remember seeing?
The first movie I remember seeing as a child is probably Cinderella, and I would have seen it on VHS. Or maybe, actually, we went to a movie theater when I was a kid that did, like, morning movies for moms and kids. So, like, you know, you didn't have to go to a theater full of, like, five-year-olds for later showings. But they might have shown it there, but I don't know. I don't know if that would have been... feasible. So I remember seeing it as a kid, and I distinctly remember A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes, and I distinctly remember seeing her dress transform. And that to me is still one of my very favorite Disney moments. But the first movie I remember seeing in theaters, I think, was The Lion King, because I really remember the wildebeest charged, like, really, really well. So...
Lion King's first one I remember. It's the first one I remember seeing, and the first one I remember seeing in theaters. And it's actually the first movie, period, I remember seeing in theaters. And I guess I was 4 at the time.
Yeah, I would have been 5.
So I had I'd gone to my parents for the day, their work, not... I got to see them.
I'd gone to my parents for the day.
For some reason, they'd taken me to work that day.
Take your son to work day? Something?
It was probably I couldn't get a babysitter and sit him in the corner and read for a day. But mom told me we had to go to a big, serious, important meeting, or she did, and I had to go with her. I was to bring a book and sit in a quiet room and read while this meeting was happening. And so, but it was a big multi-net corporate meeting, so it wasn't in her office. We had to go to this other building.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to this other building, and we went inside, and there was a giant cutout of Scar. And I'm like, this is the building I want to work at forever.
Work here forever.
Because it was, I remember recognizing Scar, so I must have known about this, you know, Lion King ahead of time. So
yeah.
I don't remember seeing him, but I must have, because I remember knowing that was Scar. And so what it was that they... taken us to the movie theaters and were surprising me with getting to see Lion King.
Oh, sneaky. That's
so
cute.
I remember that, but I remember thinking, ah, this is the place to work. Yeah, who got?
And that stuck with you forever.
That stuck with me forever, and this is mom's story, but I'm going to tell it anyway because this isn't her podcast. She's not with us in the room right now.
Maybe we can have guest stars.
It was my brother's very first movie in the theater, and he was, you know, right about one, I guess.
Yeah, he'd be really small.
He might have been two. He might have been fully two, because he was conscious and staring at the movie. And he was totally quiet the whole time. He wasn't baby in a theater crying.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, there's sad parts, so you can cry in Lion King.
Yeah. No, totally acceptable, still.
So, but, yeah. He didn't cry. He didn't laugh at the funny parts. I mean, there's, you know, physical humor in the movie, too, so it's acceptable for a two-year-old to laugh at. I didn't laugh, didn't cry. Was totally silent the whole movie until the very, very end when Rafiki holds up Simba's child and he sits there and his little two goes, baby.
Oh, that's so cute.
And it's adorable.
That's so cute.
So, but yeah, Lion King was, when we were talking about three possible movies that changed it, Lion King's one of those.
Oh, Lion King's so
Lion King
good.
Was a huge
I had,
product.
One of my favorite toys as a child was I had two little... I had a stuffed Simba and a stuffed Nala, and they had little magnets in their noses so
mm-hmm.
they would kiss. And I remember those really well. I'm sure I still have them somewhere. But, like, those were... I never really got that attached to stuffed animals as a really small child. Like, I never had, like, you know, that really overly loved stuffed animal. But we did travel quite a bit when I was, like, 4 through 7 or so. And... I always used to, those were like my go-to stuffed animals to bring, so they're in pretty bad shape. But the magnets still work, and that's the most important part.
I have the Disney Adventure magazine from from that, because I saw that on the shelf in some grocery store, and so I wanted that because it had Lion King on it. So I still have that, and it has interviews with all the voice actors, and like... Throughout the years, I get it and
understand more.
Yeah, I look at everyone and I recognize more and more actors. I'm like, Whoopi Goldberg, what are you doing in here?
When did you get here?
Nathan Lane? When did you get in this movie, Nathan Lane? You weren't always in this movie, were you?
Snuck in when we weren't paying attention. Speaking of weird merchandise, I'm going to go all the way back to Minnie Mouse here. I had Minnie Mouse trading cards as a child.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure I still have them because, like, as a kid, I had, you know, I had Pokemon cards, but, like, when I was really little, I had Minnie Mouse cards. And they had, like, they had Minnie in different outfits, or they had, like, things for Minnie to do. Like, she would go visit Daisy, or she would bake a cake, or she would, like, go on a picnic with Mickey or something. But I just remembered those all of a sudden really vividly, and I'll have to see if I can find those and see how ridiculous they are. I'm sure they're really dumb.
Read off the bags.
Yes.
No, I had Lion King training cards, and...
Yeah, they did have Lion King training cards.
I still have, you know, I have my big book of all the trading cards that... Because I got a lot of, like, starter packs, because they all look cool, so I have Star Wars trading cards and Harry Potter trading cards and Pokemon and baseball and basketball and hockey and race car and... You know, all kinds of, and Tomb Raider, and Digimon,
Tomb Raider.
Magic the Gathering, and so
yeah.
I have at least, like, one card from each thing, so I was quite a dabbler. But so, like, you know, Pokemon was a big one, so I have all these, like, really nicely preserved Pokemon cards that I had taken such good care of, and you flip them over, and there's my Lion King cards, and they're so, like, manhandled.
Because
I take them everywhere. Like, I remember playing them with them at this after school that I went to, out in the woods, like...
So we were out in the woods on a rock looking at them, and so, you know, scraping them across the rock to pick them up. So they were well loved.
Aww.
And I had my dad, for my birthday that year, made a Lion King cake, and I don't know how he did it, and it was the most amazing thing. He made two cakes, and one was cut up into this pride rock. And so it was the coolest looking cake. Like, it was straight up cooler than anything in the store, and Dad made it, and we bought Lion King toys and put these Lion King toys on the cake.
Oh, that's so cute.
And this summer, I found that bag of Lion King toys in the garage, and it was while we were going through stuff for a yard sale, and I was like,
must keep Lion King toys.
This could never leave my home. Because somebody else might have found that bag.
Yeah,
and they'd
just
be gone
like,
forever.
Nope.
So,
that's funny.
Yeah, so as we're speaking, Lion King might be turning into my favorite movie. So if we don't talk about Peter Pan soon,
no take backsies.
It's gonna be Lion King. The other one's Robin Hood. Let me just
I love Robin Hood.
Throw that in there. Love me some Robin Hood. Okay, so that's first movie seeing. Now, we put down a special memory, and this is anything that didn't fit into one of these categories, but is, you know, a big part of your Disney education as a child, and what that might have been.
Let me think. I do really remember going to see Tarzan for some reason. I remember we were out of town. I think we might have been in... we were either visiting family in New York or we were down at the beach. I remember going to see Disney movies at the beach quite a bit because we always went down in the summer and they normally came out in the summer. So I remember going to the beach theater, which was like, you know, significantly warmer than the movie theaters. But I really remember going to see Tarzan, like really, really vividly. And it's so weird, like the things you remember from when you were younger and how like random some of them are. Like, my biggest memory from the Disney parks, I thought, was like some sort of weird dream I had had as a child, because I remembered the really weird Norway ride at Epcot. Have you been on the Norway ride?
I've been on the Norway ride.
Oh my god. Okay, so it's this ride. It's like the weirdest ride. And I thought I had dreamed it up. It is that strange. But when I went back a couple years ago with my friend Corey, we went to the princess lunch thing at the Norway restaurant, and so we were right there and I saw it and I was like, oh my god, this is real. So you get on the Norway ride and there's this big weird creepy mural inside in the line, and there's like, you know, these weird almost photorealistic paintings of Norwegian people, and then there's like trolls, and then there's like ocean, and then there's like oil rig, and that's pretty much the summary of the ride. You go on this ride and it talks about some history of Norway, so it talks about like early people in Norway and like, you know, belief systems and stuff like that, and it talks about trolls in Norway, and they have this little like three-headed troll thing, and it's Joel's looking at me like I'm crazy. He's like, are you sure you really didn't just dream this up? And they have the creepy trolls, and then they try and send you backwards down a waterfall. And I thought I had dreamed it up as a kid because there's a waterfall outside that you see that's like really tall. So it's like, I don't think they could have done that. What they do is they're like, the trolls are like, you can't come this way. We're going to send you backwards. So they send you backwards over this, like, really short little waterfall jump that's, like, maybe 4 feet tops. And then they try and send you over backwards again, and you make a little dip towards that really tall waterfall outside that, like, clearly has no way of getting back into the ride. So I was outside, I was like, what is this going to do to me? And it tries to dip you backwards, and it, like, hovers on the edge there for a second, and then it, like, slings you around the corner. And then it, like, talks a little bit more about the people of Norway and what people of Norway do for livings and things and, like, major industries. And then you go through this really weird room with, like, a giant oil rig. I'm not even kidding. I will show you pictures of this giant oil rig thing. And then you can get off and, like, watch a video about Norway and things and buy Norway themed gifts. But I remember that really well as a child. I remember the weird trolls. I remember going over the waterfall. And so when I found out it was real, I was like, oh, Disney just made a really trippy ride. It wasn't me being crazy.
Okay, this doesn't count as my special memory, but the ride that I remember vividly and was sure I had made up was the Bill Nye Ellen DeGeneres ride.
Yes, I love that ride.
Because I didn't know who Ellen DeGeneres was at the time, and so I remember that ride, and then I remember knowing who Ellen DeGeneres was, and thinking of that ride, but now Ellen DeGeneres was in it. I was thinking, I've somehow just inserted Ellen DeGeneres into this ride in my mind for no good reason.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until, like, years later, I was like, that was Ellen DeGeneres.
It was, in fact, Ellen DeGeneres.
So, yeah, that's where Disney played with my mind. So my special memory was watching Fantasia as a kid.
Oh, I love Fantasia.
And I think everybody's got some kind of Fantasia story because it's clearly the most different of the Disney movies. And it's the closest thing to an experience more than a movie. It's more of an experience than a movie,
mm-hmm.
more than Disney's ever done. But I remember being transfixed. I was sitting in my parents' bedroom on the floor watching it, and I remember just every single part of it, and I didn't say, you know, I want to watch this thing. It was something somebody had put in to keep me quiet for 80 minutes. And so, but it was, you know, the weirdest stuff, and my favorite one was Night on Bald Mountain,
mm-hmm.
was my favorite thing, and I totally didn't know that was the devil at the time.
He was just creepy.
It was a gargoyle?
Yep.
As we have previously discussed, gargoyles is the awesomest thing that Disney's ever done. So I love that one, and I love the Greek myth part.
Yes.
And it was just everything about that part and the Dionysus. And Dionysus was drunk. And
he was real drunk.
And that was another thing where, like, later I was thinking about it, and I'm like, was he really drunk? Because he's drunk in my memory.
He's real drunk.
But maybe I'm just making that up now.
Yeah, I loved the centaurs were my favorite from Fantasia. And them with the flowers in their hair, and they had the pretty, they're all like pink and blue, and
but
they were really pretty.
So everybody talked about Night on Bald Mountain scaring me. The first one scared me with Mickey and Yinsid.
Oh, really?
That terrified me.
I was
as
just
a child.
That as a child made me really anxious. Like, I was really upset for Mickey. I was like, Mickey, you screwed this up, and it's going to be really a problem, and you're going to get in trouble. That's what bothered me as a child.
No, that wizard was so scary.
He was pretty scary.
I mean, he didn't talk. He just kind of glowered. I'm like, he's gonna kill Mickey Mouse. He's gonna kill him dead. So that was the traumatizing. Then after that, you know, Satan rising up and dancing around on Earth, whatevs.
It's cool.
But my sad ending to my Fantasia story is I think every kid has that one VHS tape where at some point in there they pulled out the string to see what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And mine just happened to be Fantasia.
Oh, that's awful.
So I ruined my Fantasia tape because that was the one that I opened up to look at the insides. So, I got that DVD day one.
That's good.
So
that's good.
I can watch my Fantasia again.
But what else is on our list?
All right, we have one more question, and that's timing out pretty good. And this is a possible touchy subject. This is the most overlooked Disney movie. In Disney's, you know, years, they've made 50 movies, and clearly some of those are not as big as others. So which one is your most overlooked that you love and everybody goes, that movie? In that high voice.
In that voice, precisely. There are so many underrated Disney movies that I do love, but I think I'll have to go with Meet the Robinsons. It's a fairly newer movie. It didn't do that well in the box office, but I really, really love that movie. I loved all the characters, and I loved how vibrant the world they created was, and I loved their focus on Walt Disney's "keep moving forward" quote, and there was a dinosaur in a bowler hat, and he talked funny, and that was great. And again, as an adopted kid, I really loved seeing a portrayal of an adopted kid that I could really relate to.
Meet the Robinsons was that was when I remember sitting there like, I guess I'll watch this.
Did you enjoy it when you watched it?
Yes.
It's so good.
That was one, like, the first time I got done, I was like, I'm surprised at how good this is.
It was a really, really lovely, heartfelt movie that just didn't go over well. The trailers, I think, were not quite what the movie represented, which caused some problems.
I don't think, especially at the time, and still now, people aren't on board with Disney doing 3D stuff. That's still such a Pixar thing, and so Disney still is associated with the hand-drawn stuff. So it really feels like a Disney movie, even though it doesn't look like a Disney movie yet.
Right.
And I think it will, after that becomes a more accepted form of animation for Disney. So I'm hoping there will be a resurgence in time for that movie.
Hopefully.
My most underrated is 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, that's a good choice.
That one.
You started with an H, and I was like, you say Hunchback of Notre Dame. I have this mild beef, especially with people on Tumblr, because most commonly cited to me as most underrated is The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which I think is actually a fairly beloved movie among fans. I've seen it listed quite often as people's favorite, or at least one of their favorite songs or favorite characters. So it always makes me angry when they say it's underrated. There's a difference between underrated as a movie and underrated by Disney merchandising. Okay, continue with your 101 Dalmatians.
101 Dalmatians. 101 Dalmatians was the first one I owned. And so it's still another one that holds that special, unique place in my heart. But the animation in that one is so different. There's all the jagged lines and caricatures.
I actually read a really interesting article a while back about how they did the animation, and it was like this crazy process with Xeroxing and sketches, and it was really complicated. And actually, I believe that Walt himself was not very pleased with the way that animation came out, which I think is ridiculous because it's so, so pretty, and it really has an interesting feel to it in comparison to the other two movies.
I think that must have been a lot of credit going to Bill Pete.
I believe so.
For that, because, I mean, it looks like his later books, but it was so different, and it was one that, like Meet the Robinsons, I don't think in its time was really taken to because it was a different animation style.
Right.
It also was one that wasn't a classical Disney fairy tale movie like so many of the other ones.
But it also wasn't strictly human-based or strictly animal-based, which I think was an interesting step for Disney. I think worked really well for them in that movie and hasn't been as explored as much since.
So, I remember watching that, and I remember the trailers were at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
On the VHS. which, you know, makes sense with the being called trailers and everything.
Yep.
And so that's the only time on tape I've ever seen that. And it was for Great Mouse Detective, which is another pretty underrated Disney movie.
Oh, I do love that movie.
So that was in my considerations, and Aristocrats was my other...
Aristocrats.
Cats.
Aristocats. Aristocats is actually probably one of my top 10 favorites. I really love that movie. So, yeah, it is pretty underrated. But there's so many that are so good that are not as appreciated, which is sad.
I mean, it is. And that's not to say, like, the ones that are appreciated, the Lion Kings and the, you know, the...
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast are so good. We didn't talk about Beauty and the Beast at all.
Oops.
there are people who are never going to listen to number 2.
No, they're going to be guys, like, no, you guys suck.
We love Beauty and the Beast.
We do. It's awesome.
For like, LeFou was real close to being favorite villain. And just because he wasn't the main villain is the only reason LeFou wasn't my
favorite
villain.
Gaston is really high on my top villain list.
So yeah, we like Beauty and the Beast. Let's do a little bit of pandering.
Beauty and the Beast, yeah.
Yeah,
but,
and singing.
Yeah, that's not to say that we don't like the you know, like, major blockbuster important Disney films, but I do think that there are smaller, less loved Disney films that deserve more credit for what they are.
But if you have a favorite one, it's probably one of our favorites too.
Probably.
All those Mulan and Little Mermaid and everything that's not Home on the Range. And
all of them are my favorite, Joel. I cannot decide. Okay, no, none of the sequels are my favorites, I lied.
Hunchback 2.
Oh, God.
Secret of the Bells.
Oh, God.
Electric Boogaloo.
I would have watched that. If it had Electric Boogaloo in the title, I'm not even kidding.
I don't think it even has Secret of the Bells. I think that's been a running joke that we made up ourselves.
But Electric Boogaloo is so good. Can't you just picture Quasimodo in like a ridiculous leisure suit? And...
He might might as well, in that animation, like, the animation dropped off so much between Hunchback and Hunchback 2. He might as well have, like, been a leader.
And, like, oh my god, and Esmeralda already has the, like, giant 70s hoop earrings, and...
You just throw an afro in Achilles. Disney, take notes.
What's his face? The evil dude? Frollo, yeah. Yes, that's right. He would totally be, like, some sort of crazy, like, drug cartel dude. This is terrible. Love Hunchback of Notre Dame.
No, Timothy Clapham. He was the underground fella.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
And Frodo's dead.
Whatever.
Frodo would be the dead guy in the sequel.
The zombie drug cartel runner, I believe. Yes.
Okay, we're rambling.
Yeah, that's okay.
So thanks for listening in. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you will come back next week for our second one, which we delve a little deeper into Disney magic.
Yeah.
And tell all your friends if they like Disney. If they don't like Disney, stop being friends with them.
Agreed. They had no childhood.
All right. Bye.